Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, 29th of July, and we're back in the office, hence there is probably a little bit of noise in the background. Let's try not to worry about that. Our market doing okay today, up 28 points. That's on the back of the SPY futures, up 19 overnight, on the back of Wall Street, down a little bit. The FOMC, the main news overnight. There were a few more results. Apple down 1.2% on after-hours results, and Facebook down 3%. Ford up 3.7%, Pfizer up 3.2%, and Boeing up 4%. So technology stocks not really delivering on the share price front anyway. Gold slightly weaker, Bitcoin was up nearly 7%. Oil price up 1%, iron ore price pretty much unchanged, up a little bit. A few things before we get to the FOMC. I have put in the newsletter today the broker research post the Rio results yesterday afternoon after market close. They were seen as bumper results or bumper dividend anyway, and has put the pressure on BHP and Fortescue, but BHP in particular, to do something similar. And resources well up today. Rio up 2.6%. It was up 4.464% in the US overnight, and BHP up 1.8% today. It was up 1.4% in the US overnight. Looking at the broker research, most of the target prices are well below, at least below, but some of them well below the current share price on BHP and Rio and Fortescue Metals. The average target price on Rio since the results is well below the current share price. Some brokers have to update their research. But we've got UBS with a target price 23% below the current share price on Rio and a sell recommendation this morning. Meanwhile, Macquarie, standing out a little bit from the others, has an outperform recommendation and perhaps one of the only brokers to be using a realistic iron ore price forecast. They have a target price 19% above the current share price. When you're looking at BHP and Rio and Fortescue Metals or any commodity stock, really, as I've said before, it really doesn't matter what the broker target prices are, what the recommendations are, unless the broker has got the underlying commodity prices right. So most brokers at the moment are running with iron ore price forecasts well below the current $214 iron ore price. They are playing catch up, as they do in a commodity price cycle like this. The day they have the correct iron ore price forecast is the day that the iron ore price has peaked and they have caught up. But for now, they're all running iron ore price forecasts well below spot. Consequently, their target prices are almost all below the current share price. All you need to know really is that the BHP and Rio and Fortescue share prices, whilst they're hitting record highs on a record high iron ore price at the moment, you just hold on until the iron ore price falls over, and it needs to be a significant pivot or peak in the iron ore price for you to bother selling those stocks, especially with their income attributes these days. So although I've put all the research in there, you can pretty much ignore the target prices being below the current share prices because the iron ore price forecasts are wrong from most brokers. So they are highly correlated to the underlying commodity prices. So watch for those pivoting. At the moment, they are not peaking, in which case you just carry on holding BHP and Rio, especially with dividends coming up and with the results from BHP coming up as well. Other little things today, Macquarie disappointingly down a touch on their quarterly update, which is significantly above last year, although their payout ratio guidance is a bit conservative for some people. Buy now, pay later, wannabe split it, interestingly hitting a 52-week low on a June quarter loss. Lithium and nickel stocks holding in there nicely today. PLS in voluntary suspension pending a court decision. Resolute Mining down 4.4% on production numbers. Sandfire up 1.3% on production numbers. Iris up 14% on guidance and a share buyback announcement. Another positive pre-results confession. Not really a confession, is it? Right, on to the Fed. The Fed's overnight policy meeting is interesting. It was dovish. Dovish is the opposite of hawkish, which is different to being a chicken. Dovish means that it was not worrying about inflation and taking the tone that interest rates don't need to rise. And post the meeting, you'll see the charts in the strategy piece today. Bond yields fell in the US. The US dollar fell, as it would when bond yields fall. And the equity market not really affected. It popped and dropped only a little bit. But the main message from the meeting is that full bore stimulus remains. Rate rates appear less likely to rise than previously expected. Tapering's not going to happen anytime soon, judging from what he's said, and it's pretty bullish stuff. Fairly optimistic on the US economy. It's good for cyclicals and positive on the economy, and interest rates aren't going up anytime soon. The main message from the Fed is that they're not going to taper until they see a more significant improvement on the jobs front, and that depends on the spread of the Delta variant, which they don't know or can't quantify at this point. Also depends on the vaccination program, which seems to be going quite well. But the main message for macro watchers is that all eyes are on the US jobs market, and until that strengthens significantly, I think the quote was, there is more work to be done on the jobs front. Until that happens, everything's remaining the same, full ball stimulus, which means the equity market will remain supported. So the bull market continues on the back of the Fed. You'll see some of the main points in the strategy piece today. I've put a chart of the US employment rate in. You've got to assume if the US unemployment rate falls back to pre-pandemic levels, they will start to talk about tapering. But in June, it actually edged up to 5.9%. And it's all a bit chicken and egg, but employers are complaining that they have labor shortages, which are caused by people not wanting to work because of enhanced benefits. Also from concerns about contracting COVID-19 if they go to work, and also issues about finding childcare. So it's a sort of perverse situation where there's too much stimulus, so the jobs numbers don't improve, but the stimulus won't stop until the jobs numbers do improve. But last month's rise in unemployment has obviously given the Fed cause to hesitate on their tapering trajectory. So good for equity markets, bond yields fall, bull market remains. Right, today I have, in order to fill a bit of space on a bit of a quiet day, I would just say on the back of the Fed stuff, it is pro-stimulus and pro the economy. So the sector doing well today is technology, the growth stocks. If interest rates aren't going up, technology does well. And the sector that's doing not terribly but is down a bit today is the bank sector. If interest rates don't go up, margins can't improve, so they are fading a little bit. Gold quite strong today, some of the gold stocks up a bit, and as I say, lithium holding in there, as are nickel, rare earths, and even some of the uranium stocks. Not that that's relevant. Finally, back to a article I've written today in the newsletter called Smart Money. I've never liked the expression smart money. It's sort of demeaning to individual investors, and it's used by the finance industry and commentators to pretend they know more than their readers and to imply that they are smarter than the rest of you. So I have defined what smart money means today. Truth is, a lot of smart professionals are very dumb and a lot of non-professionals are very smart. I think smart money doesn't mean clever money. What smart money means is big money. And big money has access to certain things that the mortal investor doesn't have access to, which is things that brokers will give them because they are big clients. Things like access to IPOs, share issues, placements. You can read about that in the strategy piece. Also, people think smart money means the big money has inside information. I can tell you that is not the case. I once stood in a lift with a very experienced professional trader who overheard a couple of brokers talking about an inside tip. And he piped up with the line, if I'd never been told any inside information ever, I would be $1 million better off. He was always in the lift, that chap. He was going downstairs for a smoke, so he had a raspy voice. But it is sort of true that the big end of town does not work off inside information. For one, it's illegal. And two, most of it comes courtesy of people who are trying to manipulate you to do the opposite of what they want to do. And the one thing I've seen amongst private clients as opposed to institutional clients, the one thing they do that small money doesn't do is write options against big holdings in things like the banks in order to earn an incremental improvement in yield. But apart from that, smart money is really just big money. money. And today I have listed some of the huge advantages that small money has over big money. Have a read of that list, but that should make you feel a little bit better today about being a small investor as opposed to an institutional investor. About the biggest advantage of being a big investor over a small investor is that brokers buy you lunch. I will let you read that article. Meanwhile, as I leave you, nothing else has happened. We are up 31 points. Dow futures up 10. In other words, nothing happening. I will be glued to the Olympics for the rest of the day. I just saw an interview, if you can Google it, try and see the devastating interview with featherweight boxer Sky Nicholson, Australian featherweight boxer, who got beaten by a pom in the final. Enough to bring a tear to the eye. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you soon.